Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture. So excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me, please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. Now that we have all that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends. Today I'm joined by Keith to finally review the Another Path episode of the 70s Incredible Hulk show. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great. I have wanted to talk about this and this episode specifically for so long.
Yeah, we have been pushing this off so many times. It's not because of the content of the episode, but it would make sense if it were.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is not in my top five. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. This episode is wow. I do want to say in case anyone did not see, at the end of December, I closed my Patreon on for now. I don't have time to do that because I'm going to be moving hopefully in a few weeks from now. I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but it's just going to be a very stressful time, so I'm not going to have time to do Patreon stuff for a while. So I closed that down. Of course, that means, though, there's no longer a Hulkaholic for a dollar. Let's get into this review, though. So this episode, it does not age well because of all the racial stereotypes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the portrayal of blind people.
That's probably not great, in itself, but, that it also is just, there's so much to the episode where it's like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. Like, what?
Oh. It's also got probably my least favorite bad guy, this Steve Silva guy. It's a cliche now to have like the white American guy kind of exploiting the martial arts thing, but I'm sure that in 1978 it would have been probably a newer thing.
Yeah.
Not a great actor. Great screenwriter. Did you know what he wrote?
Oh no, I don't know.
His real name is not only Tom Holland.
Oh yeah.
But he's also screenwrote two of the most two pretty iconic horror films.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Nightmare on Elm Street and Child's Play.
Oh. You got one out of two correct. He did write the first Child's Play movie.
Okay.
And he also wrote the original Fright Night, if you've ever seen that guy.
No, I have not.
Movie. I think it turned into maybe like a very short series, but yeah.
While the strikes were happening, I actually spent the time to watch all of the Child's Play and Chucky series is for the first time, and I had so much fun with that. That's probably now one of my favorite horror series, is because it's so much fun.
People have a lot of fun with that one. There's a buddy of mine I'm actually seeing it, that Iron Claw wrestling drama with on Sunday. He's been crazy about Chucky. He's tried to get me into it many times. I don't know why I never saw the Chucky movies very, early on, so maybe I'm just resistant to it for that reason,
Mm-hmm.
but I've seen the first one and I've enjoyed it for sure.
Oh yeah, as I said, this was the first time I ever watched any of them. There's a lot of different horror franchises that, because I didn't watch horror as a kid, and I'm just now checking out, and I was just thinking thinking last October, I was like, I want to find something to watch for the first time. And I was like, I haven't seen this, so I might as well check it out. And I ended up absolutely loving it. It's really weird. The franchise goes from being pretty good for a while to having entries where it's not great. It's not great. And then they came back with the act with a TV show that's both that's being made both by Sci-Fi and the USA Network, and it is absolutely amazing. It's such a weird thing to see a horror franchise eyes turn around from having from going downhills like that. Like,
It's
wow.
pretty cool to see the various ways that because something when something's been around for as long as Chucky has, the different forms that intellectual property takes on, not unlike when I was watching this episode of Hulk, I was thinking like, what a bizarre thing to have take off from a Marvel character, and
Oh
no,
yeah,
none of the other
it's
ones really have that. None of the others have like a 70s live action successful TV show
well,
for some reason.
there is so there is it didn't last as many seasons as this is a lot the Incredible Hulk didn't
Well,
last a lot of seasons either, but there is the 70s Spider-Man IN show,
oh yeah.
which I watched last year for my Patreon, on the first episode of that, and I was actually very surprised by how much I enjoyed it. It very much felt like Spider-Man, even though the actor playing him, probably out of all of the Spider-Man actors, looks the oldest in it. People made jokes about how Tobey Maguire didn't look like he was in high school. This guy looks definitely did not look like he was in high school at all.
It took place in high school?
I don't know if it I don't remember if it did. I know he was working at a lab during it. But like I was really surprised though with it, with the with how the unlike with the 70s Hulk show, they really tried to make this feel like it was a superhero show, where they had it had like it like really a super villain for the and as the villain, and he's in New York City. He's not like on the run or something, and
Yeah,
just with
true.
normal people. And the villain in it, his whole thing was that he created an ability to mind control people to do his bidding. But whenever he was finished with them,
Yeah.
he sent them to their deaths. Like it wasn't a like where to the outside world it looks like they killed themselves,
Oh, wow.
and it's like that's surprisingly dark for a show that was on, I think it was CBS or S back then. It was like so and I found out really interesting that they were
Yeah.
willing to do something so dark with it.
That is bizarre. Yeah. That's I wouldn't have guessed that either. I do
But
like that they went with the ambitious like super villains right off the bat.
I was very pleasantly surprised by it, and I really enjoyed it. And at some point, I would love to be able to do a review of that at on here, just to be able to show you it, because I think you would have a
Yeah.
lot of fun with it.
I'd be
Oh
down.
man. But so this episode we have this episode of Incredible Hulk, we have that David Ade Bramer, which it that even just that I feel like was a was them being racist. Since they gave a stereotypically ethical like name aim that probably could have been Asian into him for the martial arts episode. Like
I didn't even
I
notice.
feel like that's I feel like Bramer has to have been specifically specifically there for that.
I
I
don't
don't
even think I
know.
even heard him say his last name in this episode.
Yeah,
I've been looking for that ever
so
since.
he said that added to the blind man when he first met him. But the and
This
they
is season 2, episode 5, right? Or
five or
no,
six,
five
something like
seven,
that.
I think it is.
But
Yes,
something like that. It's
I'll make sure. But it's called Another Path.
yeah, another path at it we see at the beginning of it he this truck driver who refuses to give him if David a lift. And while that's kind of an asshole thing for the truck driver to do, it was definitely not something that David should have done, just jumping in the back of his truck.
Yeah, it would have justified it a bit more had we seen maybe more desperation from David first, like how he's been waiting for days, he's been walking forever, like he's starving. And then the guy's, even just him arguing with the guy would have been nice to see him try to convince him a little more before just sneaking onto his freezer truck,
And then
which I didn't know it was a freezer truck till he got on. And then,
he's
yeah.
like this truck driver's like, oh, you wanna try and force a ride with me? I'm gonna kidnap you. What?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and cool you off in the back, and then you'll pay. Yeah, that was
We
great.
have
I like that.
and the blind man, he is obviously the racial stereotype of the old wise eyes Asian man, which is wow. Of course they would have something like that. The first thing in the episode where I think it really is dumb and doesn't make sense has to be the has to be when he puts the hot piece of coal in his hand and it doesn't burn him. The when the blind man
Oh
and
yeah.
does that, they're like, oh, I've mastered my mastered myself so I don't feel pain.
Yeah.
Okay,
This manga monadic thing.
but
Yeah.
mental pain is mental. The but the But there still should be a physical act of harm to the body.
Yeah. It's funny 'cause it's like that's always been the trope of And kung fu movies were very popular in the 70s, and that was always the trope of mind over matter. It's all in your head, your reception of pain. You can, at the very least, you can stave off expressing that pain. Maybe you're seething inside, maybe you're in terrible, terrible pain inside, but you never show it on the outside, and it's somehow more intimidating to your enemies and stuff like that. I loved that this opening episode had one of the strangest fucking de-transformations from Hulk to Banner I've ever seen. They like shoot the camera at the sun for a second, and then it's like a close-up on a very
Yeah,
cakey makeup David
it's
Banner.
like, why is it so high def? Everything else in the show is like, nope. We're not, but this particular one, we want to show you every pore on his face.
And then they immediately go to a freeze frame of just shirtless Banner sitting on a boulder, and they just zoom out. And okay, there we go, we did it. I was like, wow, that's the strangest version I've ever seen. Yeah, that was unnecessary. It was a little off-putting. But I love hearing the blind guy talk about how he can see in other ways. What I don't love is that they shaved his head and put a Mr. Burns wig on him to make him look old and wise. He had like white hair in a shoehorn or a horseshoe shape and stubble on the top of his head. It's very funny.
They decided to team up, and If we literally the next scene, in Banner is already at a point where he can control him, all himself for and be meditating for
Yeah.
7 hours or something. I'm like, that I feel like that would take years of training, not a day or something.
Well, he was rearranging things in his mind basement. I think that's what
Like,
Lee Sung called it, was he was down in
yeah,
his
it's just like
basement.
but also I don't think it's good for someone like Banner to be that oblivious to the world around him that the blind man has to shout before he'll or he comes to. I feel like that's not actually good for him.
Very true. He needs to be on guard at all times. He is on the run, after all. I there's this one part at the beginning too. They're walking down the street. They've gotten to the city. They're walking down the street, and he says, "Where is what was the 1122?" And David says, "Oh, it's just up the block, a couple of doors up the block." They walk two steps, and then Lee Sung somehow knows exactly where the numbers on the building are. Puts his hand right on them. I was like, this motherfucker's gonna be great at Pin the Tail on the Donkey. That was amazing. Why would he even assume he was next to the numbers when he reached? This guy's doing a great job. They gotta speed this along so you can't really show off how blind he is, I think.
Yeah. I really think a lot of problems this episode had, at least for things making sense, and it just needed a more runtime for that for a lot of them, because like everything happens so fast, and like
There's a lot of
they
lore
gloss
lines.
over a lot of stuff.
And there are a few things more frustrating in this world to me than hearing a bunch of white guys do their martial arts ki sound, where they're like, and like that is like the Power Rangers pissed me off for that reason, because all the white guys would sound very exaggerated and cartoonish when that's not what you're
Oh
supposed to do. But I don't know. It's just grating to the
yeah.
ears.
It's like, oh my God. They get to the martial arts place, and is now basically a cult. This is a sign that I was able to feel a lot of similarities between this and the most martial arts cult. Or I believe it's if it has been officially classified as a cult that my parents were in
Oh,
30
damn.
years ago. Yeah.
A martial arts cult specifically? What the hell? Wow.
They and like there's and a lot of things in this episode that definitely felt similar to things I've heard about this place. Is I would I'm I don't want to go into a lot of specifics because a lot of this stuff
Understood.
is technically alleged and because they because that wasn't the because the things that people believe that they did were not what ultimately was able to get the place taken down. What ultimately was able to get the place taken down had to do with taxes. But they're like there have been like they talked about in this episode how people have been killed, and there have been people who've gone missing, and I say and the and I've definitely heard some alleged stories about or it's about the place that my parents were in, and about how there may have been people who got killed and ailed or went missing because of this place.
Wow,
Yeah. I'm like,
that's crazy.
wow. Oh, that surprised me with the episode. Speaking of like people getting people like being killed and missing, like that's one of the things where I'm like, this needed more time because they did not care to be like, we have to find these people at the end or anything.
Yeah,
No, it's
that.
just like we're just opening the school back up again, and David is leaving. I'm like, do the people who got killed and or went missing not matter?
Yeah, they're just presumed dead.
That's crazy.
Rearming. Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Oh,
Did
but
you? What did you think of the actress playing? What is it, May? Mr. I think it's Chuan's daughter, who ends up taking over the school in the end.
then she did fine.
No
Fine.
romantic lead here, right? There was no
Yeah, no.
romantic
Well,
entanglements between her. Good for her.
there
And
was
as the only
a
female in the episode.
well, there was a blonde receptionist.
Oh yes, sure. She had a big crush on Lee Sung.
The one thing I do appreciate with the episode is the fact that when they're at the house, like, and David's like, "You guys should call the police." They're like, "David, just go do your chores. You don't understand." Like, because
Yeah.
the police aren't gonna do anything in a situation like this. They because there's not solid evidence for them to be able to do things based on, and also these are minorities. Police don't care a lot about them,
There
sadly.
you go. Yeah. They're a little,
Like,
yeah, too. I
I
did
thought that
notice the
was.
line where she said, like, oh, these aren't the type of people, we're not the type of people to trust the police anywhere. And it was an interesting choice to put in anywhere just to make sure that, oh no, we're not saying that they're racist, but yeah.
I thought that was a good thing that they included there. The I know I'm like skipping forward a lot through this, but I think these are like the places where it's most interesting stuff to talk about. I found it funny how the old lady at the house went to slap Hulk with a spatula.
Yeah.
Like, she hits him and he just looks back at her like, really?
A spatula? You think a spatula can stop me? That would be, I respect Hulk for not throwing her through a wall. It's very nice that he just kind of fucked up her house a little bit.
Oh, I also thought it was funny how I one of the when Hawk is in the martial arts place, how one of the out of the I guess students or whatever, like, tried hitting him with a stick in his belly button.
Like that was the
That
off switch.
yeah, like
Like he was
that
like, oh, this will shut him down.
The striped, the guy with the striped ice stick. Did you notice that?
I didn't remember him hitting him in the button, but or the belly
Yeah,
button. But
it
is this
was
the
at least
guy who
around
he?
that area, but I
Is
mean
this the
that's
guy he
what.
props up with the stick?
No, so it was actually right before that. It was another guy who had this. Oh, honestly, kind of looked like a candy cane and stick. Again, he
Ooh.
was a hit him. It at least looked to me like it was right around the area of Hulk's belly button,
Oh, I believe it.
and then the Hulk threw him to the side, and then yeah, as you said, there was another guy who tried to hit him with this really long stick, and Hulk propped him up. I love seeing Hulk propped him up, but I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. I think that the seeing any new gimmick with the Hulk in a Hulk fight, like that was what I was not expecting to just see him push a guy up and then park him in the corner. That was
It's a
cool. Do you
great
see?
way to stop someone because they're like, put me down, someone help me.
It's like, sorry, just gonna leave you here
You're
for someone
down.
else. It's fine. I love that the Hulk at the beginning of this moment or this fight, he comes rushing up to the building. Lee Sung has already walked in to this very open door, and Hulk just smashes down both front doors to the building without even trying them first. It's not locked.
And
He could have just walked in. They're like, nope, we're gonna smash these doors. We paid for them.
basically everyone though that Hulk fights are people that Lee Sung has already defeated. So
Yes.
it's literally just he's just repeating everything, repeating beating everybody that
or at least those already seemingly made so they shouldn't be getting back up.
Yeah.
But oh, but finally have like so with Lisa, though I don't like the term arm of because it has been used way too many times by crazy right wingers, but I kind of feel like I kind of feel like more than anyone that I've ever seen in movies or TV, Lee Sung feels like the feels like Mary Sue is I guess if what they all said that said the characters like Rey in Star Wars were like,
Yeah.
but where he could just do anything, like.
Yeah.
He just it was he had no struggle whatsoever in this fight. I'm like, if you could have had a little struggle, that would it would have been nicer to be a little bit, not just as immediately defeat the bad guy.
Well, you know, my favorite, one of my favorite ever, is Jackie Chan, and that was always what made me like him over like Jet Li or others, where it was like they were infallible, they were incapable of getting hit, they just always would dominate. Whereas Jackie Chan's constantly like getting his finger will get hit when he's flipping around a moose antlers or something, and he'll like, ooh, ah, and like he'll keep getting punched in the face. Like it's more realistic, it's more high stakes to see your main character endure injury and still come out on top. Rather than just be like, oh yeah, he's going to defeat everybody in the room because he hasn't been stopped since like he started. So yeah, I agree.
I was like, that was just way too quick of a like of a final fight. Trying to think what else is there that we need to we need to bring up for this episode because I feel like a lot of the rest of the stuff is like not terribly interesting to happen.
And that's the tricky part about this episode is like if you're gonna make an episode that has to do with a martial artist, for example, you don't really seem to be talking. I guess it's because it's talking about a trope we've seen a lot where, okay, the white man adopts the teachings and then exploits it and makes it about money and makes it about business and he's doing the shady shit in the background. They didn't really feel like a lot of high tension with that. I guess they didn't portray it very well. So I don't know. I wished, honestly, I think the episode should have been called Life, Death, and Dizzy Gillespie, and they just should have gone to some jazz clubs and gotten to a big fight in a jazz club. That would have been cool. It just there's so many things they could have packed into this instead of just, oh, guy shows up, guy who used to run or master beats or student beats master, and then. Because Steve Silva did not feel like a threat the whole time. He knocked a plaster head off of a dummy, and that's the most I've ever feared him. It was just,
I'm like
okay.
it was just like I think he was just so over the top that you couldn't take him seriously. Like, the first scene that we see him in, he bends a nail with his fingers. It's like, really? Really, dude?
Hey, get a cheap enough nail. You can bend anything. That's easy enough to do. I could do that with nails from Dollar Tree. That's pretty simple. Yeah, and then they're like there's that scene where he's trying to put his hand in the fire with concentration. He's not gonna react. He's not gonna feel pain. And then Simon comes in and
It's
distracts him, and he's like,
so dumb.
Simon! He's so mad. It's like you're so rageful. You're obviously not a threat at all. He screwed up, man. Yeah. There's this one part that I wish I could. Can I, sh if I could share my screen and show you the part I'm thinking of, it would make for, I think, a funny TikTok. As near the end, it's when the Hulk is coming bursting into the building
I
before the
just
massive
noticed that
attack.
there's a little bit of I guess fake blood on the mannequin head in
Yeah.
that scene. It's like, what? That's so weird.
Oh yes, Hulk's hair, first of all, very combed over from
Oh
scene to scene
yeah.
is not consistent, but it's never been nicer. He's ready for church, and it's just nice to see that he can get so wholesome. No, there's this part in the dojo. Well, the Hulk breaking down both doors made me laugh really hard.
Yeah.
Blocked at all. This one guy, after he, this guy here, his reaction, because he's so close to where Lou Ferrigno is when he enters the room, made me laugh so hard. I don't think he
That's
expected
great.
Hulk to be so close to him. He does this amazing little dance backwards. That's the candy cane
Yeah, the
guy.
candy cane.
Oh,
Look at
okay.
look what he does.
He tries
Right?
to grab
Oh yeah. It's a little bit above the of his belly button. But yeah, it's
Yeah, but to
like
think that that's
what?
like the off switch.
You were I feel like if you have a stick like that, just like hit him with it. Don't try and slam slam it into him straight. That's so weird. You're not
Or
that's not like wait, it's gonna work.
if you've already been beaten up by an 80-year-old blind man, don't stick around for the big green guy. I
It's
think
so
that you're
funny.
done.
It
Like
really
dead.
is. It really is so funny to me that everybody the Hulk fights is like they're leftovers from from the blind man. He's all they've already been defeated.
I think I did read that that was one of the biggest criticisms about this episode. When I was looking up stuff on it, IMDb about it,
Oh
and
God.
a couple of the reviews are like, it's not realistic. He comes in, they're all he's just throwing around a couple guys that were already down. I was like, what? You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Oh
Honestly, I
man.
think that what I would love to see is, and we'll never see it probably, but any iteration of, like, if they came out with a new Hulk series, even 10 years from now, completely unrelated to Mark Ruffalo, like totally new guy, whatever, but tried to rebirth this series, but revisit each of the friends he's made along the way. That'd be so cool to see new
Yeah.
interpretations of these old,
That could be
either racist or
interesting.
stereotypes. It'd be nice.
I think it would be good if they tried to incorporate some like actual supervillains into it and not so it's not just him being around regular people all
It's just
constantly,
thug,
but yeah.
yeah. It's just thug of the week or crime boss of the week, and it's always just it's either a mafia person or a bully, and that's it. Like those the two bad guys, yeah. Or the tortured souls that he meets are a danger to themselves, and they just need to be put in their place, you know.
Oh, I noticed when when we first had the Hawk out of the episode, it was him going pulling his arms back. I was like,
Yeah.
what?
It's a new way to flex, man. He
Yeah,
Lou had been really working on whatever muscle gets flexed when you pull your
it's
arms
really
back, and he just
funny.
wanted to show up.
Oh my God, yeah. I did not notice this, but according to the goofs on IMDb, apparently when Hulk rescues the old man from the truck, carries him to the woods, large portions of the green makeup are rubbed off of Hulk's right shoulder and wrist, and the makeup is then visible on the old man's shirt.
I did not notice that either, but I thought you were
That's
going to say something about it.
interesting.
All I noticed in that moment when he's carrying him out of the truck, is that he doesn't put his legs down. So Lee Sung crouches at the edge of the truck. Lou Ferrigno puts the guy's arm over his shoulder and kind of like hugs him to his body. But then Lee Sung stays crouched in midair the whole carry, and it's very funny looking. He just looks like this little frog. Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, I
Oh,
don't see any green. I bet there is.
apparently, I
Maybe
don't
probably the last scene or something.
know.
That's really funny though. Of course, green's gonna come
You
up.
know,
They can't figure out how to paint them.
you mentioned how Tom Holland, who acted in this episode, would later be well known for as a horror film director and would direct a Child Play. This is like, I feel like I actually told you about when I first watched watched Child's Play back in October. Jack Colvin, who plays Jack McGee in this year this show, is in Child's Play as Dr. Ardmore.
Right.
Yeah,
Yes, you
so
did tell me that.
which
That's funny.
that's it that's a which it's interesting as seeing compare or connection, even though Jack McGee wasn't in this episode, so I don't know if Tom Holland would have actually met him from this episode, but
True, true. Yeah, Jack McGee's missing from a few episodes, and I understand why, but well, back in the 70s, there was only like 10 people working in Hollywood, so it does make sense that they'd become go on to make the first child's play. Nice.
I feel like after this episode, it's particularly gonna probably feel weird how it with like we I know we've mentioned multiple times how they how like he'll be getting a little bit closer to finding a cure and then he just forgets it adds it the next episode. He doesn't continue it like whatever that medicinal thing was that he drank in the horse racing episode, he doesn't continue that.
Yeah.
I feel like particularly with this one, if he got so far in training that he was able to be not there for like 7 hours, I feel like it's gonna feel very weird in the future that he's not continuing that and trying to use that.
Oh yeah, the search for a cure is such a small part on the pie chart of an episode. It's really funny. Like, it's really only like a 2 minute thing. It explains why he's chosen to be where he is, and that's about it. And I like that part of the formula, but it's definitely not the point of the show anymore
Yeah,
at
I'm just
all.
like I just feel like that was such a big step forward that it's like it would be dumb as hell for you to not keep going with that.
Yeah, and if not that, then because there was a time where we were wondering if maybe he's going to switch over to controlling the Hulk, not curing it, because of how much it's helped him, and to kind of cage it in his mind and whatever, and that to me is that never got addressed again either. That was taking the pivot of, okay, I'm not trying to get rid of him, I just want to control him better, and it's like, okay, I guess each little thing he learns is going to be a nugget in the right direction, but not really solving anything. Yeah, hard to say.
It's like I am though very happy that we finally got him back to talking about the 70s Hulk because it is really fun looking at the past like this and
Yeah.
and be able to talk about all of this. And even with an episode like this, we both were definitely not big fans of it. I think it's fun to be able to point out
Yeah.
how much it's not aged well. And
Yeah. To
like,
get into a time
yeah,
capsule
that's
to go back in. Yeah. Well, hey, that's
these aren't
exactly how I
great
felt
things.
when I started watching the wrong episode today, and was watching a totally new one because I'd seen Another Path way back. I rewatched it today. That was fine. I think I appreciated it more this time knowing that we were going to record right after, but I ended up watching the wrong one, and because it was a fresh episode entirely, there wasn't any stereotypes of race. There wasn't a whole lot of misogyny. There wasn't like a, I don't even know what the third thing that bothers me about the show sometimes, like dated like societal things, like we talked about, like the one kid who was supposed to have a mental disability, and it's just those kind of things. There wasn't anything like that in the episode I watched earlier today, and I got so into the episode. I was so happy we were doing this again or starting to do it again because, yeah, it is a blast to go back and learn
Oh
this kind of
yeah.
era, and in this
It's
era of Marvel, this very
yeah.
different era of Marvel,
Yeah, and it's things aren't so
DC-based.
heated. Heated when talking about stuff from this era, and that's so nice,
It's
ice, because
true.
it's and not everything feels like it has to be a big deal, with
Yeah.
stuff like this. And we versus nowadays with stuff like the MCU, there's so many people who complain if things aren't a big deal where they're connecting to this larger story, and it's like, it doesn't need to.
Exactly.
It
I am of the mind. Yeah.
all it needs to do is connect to its own story
Yes.
and be its own thing. I think a lot of people have this weird idea that everything from Marvel needs to feel like an event. It really shouldn't, like in my opinion. It should feel like it's just this is a part of your life. You're just watching. It's like if you liked playing cards, you wouldn't be only playing it if it was an event. You would just get on and have some fun with some friends friends and play some play a card game on any random day. You're not going
Yeah.
it doesn't need to be an event. It just is a thing that you like doing, and I think that's I think people have got this like revisionist history where like oh everything was events before phase four. It's like no, it wasn't. Only stuff like Infinity War and Endgame were events,
Yeah. I think
and most
sorry.
stuff actually did not connect to the big thing.
No, more often than not, it didn't. And
Yeah.
it's almost it's a disservice to try and shoehorn everything into this big event.
Oh
We were
yeah.
talking to, okay, a few weeks ago, we put out on the Avengers, we put out an episode called The State of the MCU. And I was really dreading it at first to talk about the naysayers and the fatigue that people talk about. But really, I think that the cancerous thing in Hollywood is repetition. And when they get this formula that they think works, they think that they need to recreate that formula. And so, okay, what's the next big Avengers movie? How can we get every superhero in the books
Yeah,
in the
they
same room or same fight? And it's like, you don't need to do that. It
absolutely
doesn't
not.
serve the
Yeah.
heroes at all. It doesn't
Yeah.
serve them, even though there's comic books that work that way.
After Infinity War and Endgame, they should have been like, we're scaling back and we're going to have the next Avengers film be on the size of the first two Avengers films, not trying to go bigger.
Different Avengers, of course. Make that the story. You know, how do they work together? Not,
Yeah,
hey,
it's
let's
not.
put everybody in the same freaking place.
Yeah, I
Not
think
necessary.
like I think a lot of people have this revisionist history of thinking that most comics are the big events, but no, but oh your big events co event comics like the Infinity Gauntlet comic the or comic run the
Civil War one.
Civil War or The Dark Knight Returns or in Daredevil Born Again. No, those are big events, but if you actually go and just look you just go for a random issue say 556 6 of Thor. It's not gonna be an event. You don't
Yeah.
and it doesn't need to be. It's just like
That's
and I
what I
think people
appreciate.
have the have this revisionist history where they think that these big events, these big serious events, are the main thing that Marvel and DC did, but it's like, no, those are few and far between.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things I appreciate the most about things like the Disney Plus shows is they feel like you're giving more light to the characters that didn't get the spotlight during those big events. And so you've got like Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run and stuff, and you're focusing in on these characters that we haven't been spending a lot of time with yet. And then you have more of an appreciation for
Yeah.
them when they pop it up in something else. But the
I'm
Marvels,
a
for example, was a great little team up. That's
Yeah.
all I need. Little
Yeah,
team
I
up once in a
think
while. I don't need big things.
yeah, I to be honest, like I hear people all the time being like, oh, having so much Marvel content has like diminished the value of things. And I'm like good to be honest you're honest it's I having lots of small content makes the big events feel all the much bigger. It's
Absolutely.
not it doesn't make that those feel small. It shows you that it gives you more of a world that's actually like comics where you're honest just, with comics you have that have probably hundreds of issues that come out every year. It's not it And we have a fraction of that coming out for Marvel, and people are acting like it's too much. And like, if you don't want to watch it, just don't watch it. You don't need to spend a whole make it your entire personality to be complaining about it constantly. It's like, why? That's Do you find that fun to constantly be negative? Like, why?
I was saying the by having everything connected, like forced into being connected, it feels more like you're collecting collectibles as opposed to just enjoying art. And as I know, I mean, you know, using a word as precarious as art for something so mainstream can make a lot of people roll their eyes. But some of the best directors in the world and writers ever are sought out to do these movies and these shows, and they are fantastic, but they don't need to connect. That just it doesn't serve the characters.
Be honest, I really don't like people who are like who act like only certain kinds of movies are art. I'm like, no, everything that there's someone who put their blood, sweat, and tears into making is art. And Marvel movies, Marvel shows are absolutely are art by that definition in my eyes. It's eyes,
100%.
even films that I hate, they are art. I think everything in the world around us is art, and it's weird that people try to say that only certain things are allowed to count as art.
Well, they pride themselves on finding the underground stuff that no one else is watching and being the first one to find it, type of thing. It's like, well, that's a you problem. That's entirely a need for attention that you have that I don't care about. Don't get me wrong, I want to see more than just the mainstream. I want to see everything under the sun.
Oh
So
yeah.
I will seek out
Wow,
my own things, but I'm not looking to
I've
be the
like
first one there.
I've been watching a lot of indie horror movies lately and
Yeah, they're awesome.
it's so much fun. I honestly at this point I'd rather watch indie horror films than a lot of the mainstream ones, because so many of the mainstream ones I feel like the culture around horror films and what horror films are has changed, age in that so many of the mainstream ones are these deep and depressing, like essay
What are you thinking of when you say that? Which one are
character.
you talking
I mean stuff like Midsommar are like they like they've I feel like that stuff like that has become what the mainstream horror is nowadays, is, and I just want to watch horror movies that are just fun, fun. And I found that you're much more likely to be able to find stuff like that if you go to indie horror now. And
Yeah.
that's, and it's like I don't, I'm not mad that this has happened, but I do think it's very interesting to see seeing how horror has definitely changed in the last like 10 years or so, where it's now this quote unquote high elevated genre
Yeah,
versus
yeah.
it used to be just trying to make fun films to scare people.
Well, arguably the same thing kind of happened with comic book movies, right? So superhero movies were not popular before like 1997. When they would come around, they'd be very few and far between because people didn't believe in them or believe in that as them being a normal thing. Then the idea in general of being a quote unquote nerd became mainstream. So you know you get every all the money in the world is being put into those kind of intellectual properties. You got shows like Big Bang Theory being the number one show in the world, where the first time that in a long time that the cast is being paid $1 million an episode, just like Friends. Like that took a it took a while before a show like that would come out again. Now the same kind of thing's happening with horror. Horror movies and genres are not really a cult thing as much as they used to be. And as soon as people see the amount of money that a really interesting one makes, everybody's got to make that kind and put their money into that. So that bubble will burst and it will go back to a
Yeah,
different form.
I don't
But
mind.
yeah.
I just find that it's very interesting. Like, I horror definitely used to be something that was very much the more niche genre, that genre where they mainly were caring most about doing fun things, but then now it's honestly, I feel like within a few years we would be at a point where the Oscars might even start recognizing things that are horror,
Yeah.
because A lot of horror films nowadays that are mainstream, I would say, I go into the category of artsy fartsy, artsy fartsy, and like I Oscar bait, and that's
Yeah, true.
So I think it is a very interesting thing of how it's changed, but like honestly, I'm very happy with the change because it's given me a reason to watch more indie films and support or smaller artists.
Yeah, 100%. It's cool to seek out the weird ones because honestly, when you say art is all around us and anything can be considered art, the best box to check in my mind whether something is art or not is if it evokes a feeling in you. And if I'm watching a movie and it doesn't really get to me, it doesn't really hit strike a chord, I'm not going to not call it art. It's just art for somebody else. And if something does really strike a chord with me, and it could be the weirdest thing, like this weird ass movie called Skinamarink. Strangest movie I've ever seen. Haven't seen a horror movie like that in a long time. And yet it transported me as I let the movie kind of take over and just dive into it wholeheartedly. It transported me to a time when I was like 3 years old, sitting on my carpet in my like living room, and like just the sense memory of that is something I haven't thought about in just a long time. Just like even just looking around the room and being a kid again, and it's very weird to have a movie evoke something that you don't think about anymore or haven't thought of in a while. Yeah, that I like the artsy-fartsy, I like the mainstream, I like it all, but it's yeah, some stuff isn't for me, some stuff is.
And that's fine. I'm fine with anybody liking whatever they want to like. Just don't look down on me for not being a fan of what you're a fan of,
Hey,
and of, and
to each their own.
don't you don't have to constantly be shitting on the things that I like.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, the internet is a cesspool, and that's one of the things too. When you were saying how it's nice to watch something from so long ago, like the Hulk series, because it doesn't feel like everything's a big deal anymore. The internet is to blame for everything having to be a big
Oh
deal. You could
yeah,
find
I think
anybody's post about any movie, and they've got a problem with it.
yeah,
Very
the
true.
social media being a big thing, I think, is the biggest reason why people have become so overly critical about everything in film. It's like,
It's
why
not our
can't you
film
just
festival.
try to enjoy stuff?
Yeah.
Be honest, like, I hate film critics because it's because you're making it your personality to be negative about something that someone put their heart and soul into. It's like,
More often than not, yeah, that's
why?
what sells.
Why do you
Negativity
want to
sells. Yeah.
that? It's so, like I only want to, like, if I'm going to review signing for like the MCU these days, I only want to bring people on my podcast I know enjoyed it, because I'm like, I don't want to listen to any of the negativity, and it's gotten so bad, it's like, it makes me, and to be honest, it gives me this feeling of I must have bad taste if everybody around me is shitting on things I like constantly. I must have bad taste,
Yeah,
which
it's
is
not a good
sucks.
feeling. It's not a good
And
feeling.
I also, and it's sad to say this, but I feel like the fact that so many of my friends, like I on the Discord that we're both in, the fact that I probably have the most different feelings from everybody else there, it at least to me, it gives a feeling of there's a divide between me and the rest of the people
Yeah.
because of it,
It can be
and
very
that
isolating.
kind of and that sucks. Like it, I do notice how, like, most of the people, they put something in there, and then pretty quickly there's other people responding to them. I put something in there, and more often than not, nobody responds to it. And I feel like that's because people don't like a lot of my opinions, because they are so different from their own. And
Well,
I'm actually just loving most of what Marvel's giving us.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I see a various number of opinions, pro and anti, different projects, and I had hoped that it was fairly diverse in there in that way, but always being able to talk about it. But I'm sorry it's made you feel that way, man.
It's
That's
and it's no one's fault. I just
yeah,
think
but
I
sure.
just do feel that, and it's probably all in my head, but it's a hard thing. I feel like you're the only one with a certain opinion,
Yeah.
and like everybody else is just 50 feet away from you.
Yeah, I imagine that'd be pretty isolating.
All like and stuff like that is why I am like I'm just so tired of hearing any negativity. I'm like, I'm gonna make sure if I have someone on my podcast talk about an MCU film, it's gonna be someone who enjoyed it just like me, so that I can so I'm it's not just adding more to the cesspool of hate in the world.
Yeah, fair. That's fair, man.
And it's it is very nice to be able to talk about something like this where it's like no one's gonna care whether I like this or not, because nobody else is talking about this at this point.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I like that that it is something that people don't cover very often, and we get to talk about it. It's a and it's a nice nice time machine to be transported back to the 70s. Not that things were better then.
Yeah, no, there's a, like
A
there's
lot of
definitely
things
a
weren't.
lot of bad things about the. Yeah, I have to tell my mom all the time, things were not just simply better when you were a kid. It's just because it was better for you does not mean the world was better.
Very true.
Right.
Hard thing to grasp for some people.
Oh yeah. I don't think there's as much else to talk about in this episode. So, I'm gonna start winding this episode down unless there's something else you wanted to talk about, Keith.
I am stoked for the next one, honestly, and it's called what? Something in Wonderland?
Alice in
Oh,
let me
Alice.
see, Alice in Disco Land.
Discoland. Oh God, we're gonna get some disco pop culture. I am very excited for
It
this.
apparently David is gonna be working at a as a bartender at a
Yeah.
disco when he recognizes this girl named Alice, whom he used to know years before,
Yeah.
and he finds out she has a serious drinking problem,
Hey, my
but
kind of episode.
doesn't tell her or his true identity. That's gonna be interesting. The episode that you accidentally watched, I'm
Yes.
very interested in what this is what this is gonna be. He's working as a ankle wrapper? What? I've never heard of that job.
It's like a nickname for an assistant trainer, or assistant coach sometimes. But he's working for a football team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's gonna be interesting. Yeah. I'm so glad that we're back to actually the 70s Hawk. It's so much fun. It's great having you back on here, Keith.
Great to be back.
I it's I've missed talking to you over the since we haven't been able to talk much since the last few months because you've been very busy. But I'm glad to talk to you again.
Christmas plus the podcasts have been tricky. So I appreciate your
Understandable.
patience with me. I appreciate the patience. And yeah, I'm looking forward
And
to a much more time manageable 2024.
and Marvel releasing content in very weird ways is not helpful, probably.
Yeah, that can be difficult. One episode every day for 9 days and then all episodes at once is a weird way to change up the formula on everybody. Just all of a sudden, they were not thinking of podcasters when they did
Oh yeah, no, definitely not.
that.
I'm hoping that after this, if there is a little bit of break before the next bit of content, so that I have you for more times.
It's
There's
coming. The
there
big bird
is
coming.
expected to be a five Marvel shows, I believe, in this year. three of which though are animated, so I do not know what's gonna exactly be happening with those.
I think one's got to be what, Black
So
Panther, right?
yeah, so there's the obviously the starting out with Echo, and then and the other live action show is Agatha, and
Right.
the animated shows are expected to be the Eyes of Wakanda,
Right.
the
X-Men.
your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and
Yes.
X-Men, and 97.
Very cool. Okay.
All
Those are
the
all something I look forward to. Honestly, I only just more recently found out about the Eyes of Wakanda one, so
yeah, they
that's pretty
yeah, it
awesome.
was literally something that nobody knew about until the a what if press the screening thing where they revealed that that as a show that's coming, and it was coming really soon.
Well, they need to get their shit together.
Oh
These
yeah, I
companies don't
think
have to put that
I
amount of money and time.
it's weird the it's kind of weird though with oh they told the so they told at the press junket, they told people that this is for your eyes only. Press immediately goes to the internet and tells everyone. They after that though, they put out a video on TikTok from the press event where they censored then all the new the new things of it. It's like, well, we already know that because the press told us, so why are you covering that up? Like, to be
I think it's
honest,
all
I think,
facade. I think they're just trying to seem secretive to
yeah,
gain a little more hype.
I think honestly, what Marvel needs to do right now is they need to try and create create another thing like they did with that Disney Investors Day a couple years ago, where they grab a bunch of announcements and put them all out in the world in like a massive live stream or something, and I to get more people hyped up about what's going on with Marvel, because I think a lot of people don't know what the Marvel shows are that are going to be releasing this year because
Yeah.
of them trying to seemingly keep a secret. I think that also would make for a good way to both address some of the things that have been going on, but also make it so it's not just as depressing by giving people something to look forward to as well. Like they can be take a moment in it to be like, we understand there's and that there's people are excited for Avengers 5, but sadly it has to be delayed because of the fact that that they had to let Jonathan Majors go.
Yeah.
And last year in November, Daniel Destin Credit had exited the project, so there's no director on it.
Right.
So between those two things, they definitely are gonna have to delay it. I think that would make for a good way to address those things and let people know it's being delayed. But then and after that, they'll be like, but don't worry, we have all of these things to look forward to. I think it would be a great thing to do, and they could have it have that they end off the end it off with the biggest announcement being the cast of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I think that would make for great way to announce it, because I hope that they do some kind of special announcement for it, and not just we see on Deadline that the everybody's cast.
Yeah, that would I think they need to work on their hype train a little bit better after all the hiccups that and delays and reshoots that we've heard about. They need to work on the positives. Give us the positives. Let's hear about them.
Yeah, look, I think great way to deal with anyway, like you can have like what I've just mentioned. They can be like, I know people are sad about the Captain America Brave New World being delayed, but then and they could in the same thing be like, but to hold you over, we can confirm that Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross will become Red Hulk or something, and I think something like that'll hype people up and help with the help ease the feelings of like of sadness of things because things being delayed, and they also could use that as a way to at least announce one new movie for Phase 6, since that Phase 6 calendar is still very thin. Thin. A lot of
They went
people
the
have been
whole year.
saying a lot of people have been saying that they that Marvel is working on a World War Hulk film, so I think that would be a good place to announce it. Like, and to be honest, I think that's gonna that will be a very good thing for the MCU, because that's at least what all the scoopers have been saying, is that it's being described as like Civil War being a Avengers film, but it doesn't have the title Avengers. And that's gonna be a good way to introduce us to this team of Avengers before they go into the big
Yeah, to
multiversal
the big fight.
problems. I think it'll be
What about
I for one think it would be very smart of them to also use something like this to deal with the deal let people know that they've heard the calls for the character of Sabra to be removed from Captain America: Brave New World because of as of being an Israeli, and that not be exactly a good thing in the aim with the world what's going on with the world right now.
That would be a good thing to avoid talking about and addressing in
I
a
think
Marvel movie.
I think it would be a best for them to be like, let's put it out in the open and be like, we've heard your cries, we are removing the character and character, and then go on to another thing, because there are a lot of people who are boycotting Marvel until then, and it's not gonna be good for them if the audience isn't going to see it.
Well, how much would it have had to do with the plot, with the script, I wonder?
I don't think it would have been a big very big character or in the film, but from what I've heard, he's mainly just being a CIA agent in the film.
Oh, then
It's
yeah,
not so they can
got it.
easily just remove her. I think that'd be smart. And that but yeah, I think doing all of those things as a big announcement would really bring a lot of people into being excited for Marvel again.
I agree. You're right.
It would be great. All right, there's nothing else. We pushed Eddie's off long enough. So Thank you everyone for listening. If you like this game analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love your thoughts of the episodes. Please let me know. Thank you again, Keith, for coming on. I really appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. This is a lot of fun, and I'm glad we're talking about 70s Hulk again,
Oh
because
yeah.
I know it's only going to get funnier.
Yeah. Many more game analysis probably coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Smash Jerry John. Signing off.